Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This new year, why not let Audible expand your life by listening? Explore over 1 million audiobooks, podcasts, and exclusive Audible originals that'll inspire and motivate you. Tap into your well-being with advice and insight from leading professionals and experts on better health, relationships, career, finance, investing, and more. Maybe you want to kick a bad habit or start a good one. If you're interested in learning how to master your emotions and hearing scientifically backed advice for using your emotions as a tool, may I suggest Shift by psychologist and bestseller author Dr. Ethan Cross? Trust me, listening on Audible can help you reach the goals you set for yourself. Start listening today when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.com/wondery. That's audible.com/wondery.
Religion. It is a powerful source of comfort and guidance for us, offering hope and purpose to millions of people worldwide. It doesn't matter which religion you choose to follow. What matters is your commitment to it. But there has to be a limit to everything. The basis of all religions is faith, and in pursuit of that, we may end up ignoring rationality. This is a sign of danger, because such a deep-seated belief in something can also be exploited. Welcome back, friend, to Hometown History. In today's episode, we will be exploring one such case of exploitation of others' beliefs and faith. This is the Psychiana Movement. The movement started with Frank Bruce Robinson. Robinson was a recovering alcoholic who had been discharged from military service twice because of his drinking habits. He claimed to be born in New York City in 1886, though his brother said England was his birthplace. Robinson's early life was a mix of odd jobs and short stints in the Royal Mounted Police and the Navy, although these were often interrupted by his struggles with alcohol. But this past did not hold him back. Robinson had a vision. His experiences at Bible Training College left him feeling disillusioned with Christianity, and so he began to develop his own ideas about religion. And while you can always debate that religion is something incredibly personal to the individual, again, there is a limit. By 1925, while living in Portland, Robinson was already formulating thoughts of a new religion centered around the internal power of an individual. After working on his ideas in 1928, he persuaded his employer at a pharmacy chain to relocate him to a job in Moscow, Idaho. Here, he had more time to write and develop his ideas and give his thoughts a certain structure. He went so far as to reject the traditional concepts of heaven, hell, and salvation. Instead, he believed that everyone could use the power of affirmation to just enjoy life in the present. And it was this belief that led him to start his very own religion in 1929 from his home in Idaho. He named this religion Psychiana, which was a name that supposedly came to him in a dream. He began with an investment of $2,500, which is roughly equal to $46,000 today. He used this amount specifically for advertising and printing 10,000 form letter responses, 1,000 lesson plans, and an advertisement in the nationally distributed psychology magazine. All without ChatGPT, too. In this ad, he claimed that he could teach people to, quote, literally and actually speak to God. It was a bold promise for sure, but it struck the right chord. Since this was the time of the Great Depression, people were desperately seeking hope and solutions. This single ad was able to generate a profit of $23,000, almost as much as his initial investment. His bold promises and claims actually worked well, and soon his new religion started seeing success. Robinson's approach was simple, yet powerful. He offered a mail order course, which is a type of educational program where the content is sent to the student through the mail. This course had 20 lessons that cost between $20 to $40, roughly equal to $300 to $700 today. Each lesson was filled with his teachings on the quote, now God, and the power of affirmation thinking. This concept was key to the Psychiana movement. The now God was a deity or divine presence that exists in the present moment, one that can be experienced and utilized by people in the here and now. Unlike traditional religious beliefs that often emphasize a distant, transient God or focus on the afterlife, Robinson's religion was about realizing and using divine power in the present to improve your life immediately. Robinson's lessons promised more than just a spiritual fulfillment. They offered practical solutions to life's problems, from financial woes to health issues. And since the present was not the ideal situation for a lot of people at the time, the response was overwhelming. By the end of the first year, Psychiana had reached 67 different countries and had over 36,000 followers. The Moscow post office in Idaho even had to move to a larger facility to handle the amount of mail, which according to some accounts was as much as 60,000 pieces a day. Many of these letters claimed miraculous recoveries and success experienced by his followers. One letter from 1944 even claimed that a follower's hearing had returned after reading Robinson's lessons. His exact words were, quote, "Oh, I had to write you, telling you that before I started reading these lessons, I was deaf in one ear. I could not hear at all. And after reading the lesson you sent to me, to my surprise, on the 17th of December, my hearing came back to me." That is how deeply he had targeted these people. And that was the thing about him. He knew what to say to someone that would hit the right spot. For example, when Jeffrey Burley, a cotton exporter from Alexandria, Egypt, and one of his followers wrote to him, he praised him for his self-help advice. Robinson, who had asked for a photo with every letter, saw Burley's picture and said he recognized him as the man from his dream who had inspired the name Psychiana. Burley was deeply honored to be recognized by the leader of the biggest religious movement of the time. Overcome with this delight, he contributed $40,000 to the movement. That would be almost $900,000 today. When Robinson realized that his teachings resonated with a wide audience, he took advantage of that opportunity. He wrote extensively about the power of the mind and how individuals could use their inner strength to overcome the problems they had. His messages were filled with hope and empowerment, attracting those who were desperate to survive the crisis of the time. He structured his lessons to guide followers through a journey of self-discovery and empowerment, each lesson built upon the previous one, gradually introducing deeper concepts and practices. The simplicity and practicality of his teachings made them accessible to a broad audience, from those struggling with financial difficulties to those seeking spiritual fulfillment. People from all walks of life were drawn to his message of self-affirmation and the power of the mind. This movement even attracted some high-profile followers, such as Bruno Hauptmann. That name surely rings a bell. Bruno was convicted of kidnapping and murdering the 20-month-year-old son of Charles and Anne Morrow Lindbergh, a rather prominent American couple known for their contributions and high-profile lives in the early 20th century. Italian dictator Benito Mussolini also praised the movement and Robinson's teachings. So overall, it was a success. But then came trouble. As Psychiana grew, so did its operational needs. By 1933, Robinson was spending $2,000 a month on printing costs alone. So to cut these expenses, he decided to purchase his own printing press and have it shipped to his home. On his part, it was a good decision, but it angered George Lanphier, the local printer who had been handling Robinson's mailings so far. Lanphier felt threatened by the competition and warned Robinson that he would get back at him for this. And instead of reasoning with him, Robinson launched a second daily newspaper in Moscow, which further escalated the conflict. And this wasn't the only conflict he faced. His success and influence brought him a great deal of opposition, and it was inevitable. After all, he had based his entire religion on rejecting the ideas of those that had already existed. And seeing as how that worked out for him, it was natural for him to try it again. Local church groups criticized this movement, calling it a scam and labeling him a, quote, mail-order prophet. Some of these people went as far to vandalize his property, after which Robinson began carrying a gun for protection. He even refused to send his teachings to anyone with a local postmark to avoid conflict or backlash from those in his local area who were critical or hostile towards him and his movement. But the opposition did not stop there. Robinson faced legal challenges, particularly over his claim of being born in New York. It was discovered that he was actually born in England, and this led to accusations of being an illegal alien. Locals were not ready to accept an outsider who openly criticized their religious beliefs. In 1937, he was deported, and everyone in the town of Moscow took a sigh of relief. He was not going to give up that easily. With the help of Senator William Borah, he managed to return to the U.S. after obtaining proper immigration papers. Now, during all of this, you would expect that the Psychiana movement would fade away, but it was quite the opposite. Psychiana continued to thrive, and Robinson had unusually favorable luck. After the tense years of the Great Depression came World War II, and again, people needed a sense of hope during bleak times. And Psychiana became that message of hope. Robinson's messages about the atomic power within us resonated during the years of World War II. He claimed that this inner power could help defeat the threats of the time, including Adolf Hitler. with all the new followers and subscribers to Robinson's mail order program, Psychiana was a financial success. This movement employed over 100 people, making it the largest private employer in Idaho's Bataw County. Their success eventually declined, especially after Robinson's death in 1948. His son Alfred attempted to continue the movement, but with increasing postage rates and a reduced interest, Psychiana closed its doors in 1952. Robinson's legacy is a mixed one, since people are divided on their opinion of him. Some people saw him as an opportunist who exploited people's desperation during tough economic times. But there were others who genuinely believed in his teachings and found hope and help through his lessons. This is because Psychiana had a different impact on his followers. Robinson's teachings provided a sense of hope during a time of uncertainty and economic hardship. And hope can be a powerful thing. It gives people something to hold on to. That is all for today's episode. This is a fascinating chapter in the history of America, showing us the importance of maintaining your ability to reason in life. Thank you for joining me today on Hometown History. Be sure to follow along for more interesting stories from the past.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.